Let's stand up together for a moment and just welcome the Lord to our message this morning. Hallelujah. Lift our hands together. Father, we come to you this morning with praise and thanksgiving in our heart. And we thank you, Lord, that you are Lord. We thank you, Father, that you set us in this place today and that you will reveal your precious word to us. We lift our hands to you, Father, and with thanksgiving, and we ask you, Father, for revelation knowledge of your word. We sit as a family before your throne and say, open the eyes of our understanding. Open our ears to hear, Lord. And we thank you, Father, in advance, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is there a hallelujah in the house? I think there is. Hallelujah. And I know there's a praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, today, we're talking about the God of all comfort. Our foundation scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. I better put on. New King James Version, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Hallelujah. Notice how that's stated, the Father of mercies. If you're a father, everything starts with you, right? The word said God is full of loving kindness and tender mercy. That's the Amplified Version. Wherever they show mercy, they put loving kindness there with it in the Amplified Version. Well, he is the Father of mercies. So if he is love, then he is mercy. If he is mercy, he's grace. So he is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. All of us at one time or another need to be comforted. No matter who we are, we've all experienced times of problems and issues. There's probably some sitting in here today with problems and issues that they are facing. We all need someone or something to comfort us, but we all want something that is real, someone that is real. We don't want something artificial. We want something that is real. We need someone or something that we can lean on in the times of trouble and the storms of life. All of us have been through storms in life. All of us have. And I'll let you in a little secret. You're probably going to go through a few more before we leave this life. We are searching, but many times we search in the wrong place. And we don't realize it's the wrong place sometimes until afterward. Then we got to find our way out of that place. We search in the wrong place. What we find is a false or fleeting temporary comfort or ease. People and things that let us down or just simply don't understand. Have you ever went to somebody and thinking that they would understand or that they would care and they didn't? They did not understand. No matter how you explained it, no matter how much you cried out, they simply didn't understand. Some of us seek for comfort in drugs, alcohol, hobbies, people, work, or many other ways, things, and places. We're searchers. We're searching. We're seeking. Knowingly or unknowingly, many of us keep ourselves from being comforted, refreshed, and restored. Do you know that? Many of us keep ourselves from being comforted. Now, when we talk about comfort, we're not talking about just a little pity pat. You know, so many of us today in our modern society, we kind of watered down words. But comfort means, the comfort that the Bible's talking about goes far beyond that little pity pat on the back and oh, I'm so sorry. I'll cry with you. You know, the Lord will recognize the feelings of our heart. But comfort is so much more than that. That comfort comes in the form of whatever we need. God knows the cry of our heart. So some of the reasons that we don't feel comforted or that people fail us, we feel that we're not worthy. How many people don't feel that they're not worthy? I have at one time, but I know better now, praise the Lord. He has made us worthy, hasn't he? We believe that we have let God down. Have you ever felt that way, that you let God down? Maybe some of you feel that way today. You've let God down. So you just more or less quit. it's over for me. I quit. When I get myself cleaned up, then I will come to God. Have you ever heard that? I have. I've heard that numerous times. And I myself felt that way. I didn't feel I was worthy. I felt that I had to do something. I had to get rid of all this stuff. I had to get washed and cleaned, and then maybe God would accept me to come in. Maybe he would be kind to me then, maybe. Some of us think it's too late for me. I've heard that too, haven't you? Look what I've done. You don't know what I've done. You have no idea what I've done. It's too late for me. How many people are wandering around that we see every day that feel that way right there? They need a comforter, don't they? They need an encouraging word. They need to know that it's not too late. No matter how far, no matter how much you've done, no matter how far away you feel you are, there's hope for you. Because he's already paid it. He paid your price before you were born. 2,000 years ago, he finished it. He went to the cross. He paid the debt for every single person that ever has lived, ever will live, or are living. He paid the entire debt. There's no debt there. Sometime we need to get that through our giant intellect. He paid it all. Say all. All. Does that leave? Nothing. How many of us will go all roads? A couple months ago, I ministered a message called All Lead to the Cross. No matter who you are, whether you believe or not, your road's going to the cross. How many of us are going to carry our debt to the cross and then wind up going on that road to hell? Because we did not receive the price that was paid. It was paid. It was set aside. It's there, available. The ultimate comfort is available. He doesn't go to the cross again. He's already been there. You know, it blows my mind when I think that my great-grandkids that are not here yet, we got grandkids, but no great-grandkids, that are not here, their debt's paid. No matter what they do in their life, it's paid already. They don't have to worry about it. Jesus paid the debt for us all. Past, present, and future, he went to the cross once for all. And that's the message we have to bring to the world. When you think it's too late for you, that's simply not true. I don't know what the last millisecond of life is. Nobody really knows. But whatever that is, you've got till that point to call on the name of the Lord. You've got till that point in this life to receive him as your Lord and Savior. If you do not, it's not God's fault. You go to hell, it's yours. And that's a hard message. You are responsible for your life with here. Well, then what if I don't know? That's our part to pray. It's our part to intercede. It's our part to be there for people, to encourage, to lift up, to intercede. God has a way of reaching everyone. He has a way. And sometimes that way is not us, but it's someone else. Also, we may believe that God is mad at us for what we've done. I've heard that more than probably than anything. God's mad at me. God's mad at me. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. He took care of that at the cross. He poured all of his wrath out on Jesus. Jesus became sin. That's another thing it's hard for us to fathom. All of God's wrath was poured out on him. He paid the debt. What was the message that those angels spoke when they, at the birth of Jesus, when they filled the skies, you know, for those shepherds? What did they say? Peace between God and man. Now, are we responsible for what we do? We have to receive what he's done. But, as far as God is concerned, the price is paid. The price is paid. One minister, I mentioned it here some time back, but one minister, I was listening to a tape, and he said that the saddest day in Jesus' existence is still to come. And that's when he's got to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." He never had no relationship with you. He knew about you, but you had no relationship. And that's not God's fault. He made it available for all of us. God is not mad at you. Isaiah 54, verse 8. Now, this is pre-cross, folks. New King James Version. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with a everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer, the Father of mercies. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more cover the earth, so, or just like that, he made covenant. He spoke it. He meant it. So, in the same way, have I sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on us. I like John 6:37. This is the Amplified Classic. All whom the Father gives in trust to me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will most certainly not cast out. I will never, no never, reject one of them who comes to me. Now that's the Father's heart. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how mad you think God is at you. He will not cast you out if you come to him. Your sin is not what cast you out. It's your rejection of Jesus that cast you out. That's the only sin that will send you to hell, is the rejection of Jesus Christ. That sends you to hell. You've rejected him. And that's sad. That's sad. But I love that because he said, I will never, no never, reject one of them that comes to me. We find God comforting people in times of distress and trouble all through the Bible. We can see this in Paul's life. Now we're post-cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, again, New King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And then verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's what Pastor Carol was doing with that lady in the hospital she was talking about earlier. That lady was crying, trying to charge her phone. Where was her husband? She was concerned about her husband. So Pastor Carol went over, and she encouraged her and brought comfort to that woman in a way that she had in the past received comfort. That's our job. When God comforts you in whatever form you need that comfort, then you are able to comfort others with the comfort that you received. So many of us stop with our own comfort, and that's so sad because God wants us to minister his loving kindness to others. And when he has ministered comfort and kindness to us, we should be first in line to give that same comfort to someone else as his vessel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, just a little bit further down the page, also New King James Version. Now this is Paul again. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength. In other words, they didn't have enough strength in themselves to deal with what the problems that they were facing, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. They felt like, he says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, but God can raise the dead. No matter how bad it gets, Paul is saying, even if I die here, he's able to raise us up. He's still able to take care of my needs and bring comfort when I need comfort. And then verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. It's ongoing, see, with Paul here. Yes, I'm going through this problem. Yes, I've went through problems before. Yes, this is unto death. It looks like I'm not going to make it this time. We're not going to make it. We're going to die here. But yes, he has delivered me. He is delivering me, and he will continue to do so. Now that's the place that we need to come when we realize that God is able to deliver us no matter what the problem or issue is. Now that's the kind of comfort that these verses are talking about. The comfort, no matter what the circumstance or situation is, that he's able to deliver us and will if we position ourselves for him to do that. We're involved in that deliverance. We're involved in what God does. If we don't do our part, he can't do his. And it's not God's fault if it doesn't work. It's our fault because we didn't do what we were supposed to do. We have to position ourselves for the deliverance, position ourselves for the comfort. We have to ask, seek, and knock. Those are things that are our responsibility to do. We expect God to do everything, and he has. He requires us now to do that because we are people of choice. We have to choose to allow God to do what he said he would do. Verse 11, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Paul knew he wasn't on his own in this. He knew that as not only as the people around him prayed and as he prayed, he wasn't on his own. He had other people praying. He had other people interceding. People he didn't even know maybe. But they were locked in this together. It's so important that we pray for those who need comfort. And we may not even know they need comfort. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who can tell us, who can say, pray for such and such. You know, when you pray in tongues, you can pray for somebody around the world and needs that comfort, and you don't know what the problem is, don't know who they are, and never will know. But God will wake you up in the middle of the night with that little urgency, I got to pray. I don't know why, I got to pray. He'll let you know if you need to know. But it's so much better if you don't know. Let God be God. Let him be able to tap in and let him use who knows how many joined together for whatever the circumstance may be. When you get to heaven, somebody's going to come over and say, thank you for praying. I prayed. Yes, you did. You know, God is so good to us. He knows our needs and he'll bring comfort right when we need it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Can't spend much time on these, so we're going to go as fast as we can. Amplified Classic again. For even when we arrived in Macedonia, our bodies had no ease or rest, but we were oppressed in every way and afflicted at every turn, fighting in contentions without, dread and fears within us. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had such opposition, so much going on in your life, so much hurt, maybe for years, that you felt just like that? I hurt on the outside. I hurt on the inside. I don't know how to get rid of this hurt. But God can comfort you. That's, as a matter of fact, that's the next verse. I love the but gods. Verse 6, but God, who comforts and encourages and refreshes and cheers the depressed and the sinking, comforted and encouraged and refreshed and cheered us by the arrival of Titus. Notice he used someone else. He used someone that Paul knew to bring comfort to him. He brought Titus. And how did Titus comfort them? Verse 7 says, yes, and not only by his coming, but also by his account of the comfort with which he was encouraged and refreshed and cheered as to you. While he told us of your yearning affection and how sorry you were for me and how eagerly you took my part, so I rejoice still the more. The message, see, here's Titus being comforted, and he brings to Paul, I guess he was in jail, whatever the real problem was, it was major. So they bring, here comes Titus, and he's so glad to see him. But he brings news of these other people that were praying for him and that loved him and that were on board with Paul. That even brought more comfort. That's the body of Christ working together. Notice that Paul stated that he rejoiced still more. So he was already rejoicing. Paul had to choose to rejoice. Right in the middle of his problems and circumstances, right in the middle of having this need, he had to rejoice. Do you? Do I? When problems face me, do I rejoice? I can't rejoice in this problem. You don't rejoice in the problem. You rejoice in who He is. You rejoice in what He's done. You rejoice in what He will do. That takes your focus off the problem and issue and puts your focus on the heart of God. If you'll connect to Him, He can work in it. But if you focus on the problem, He can't, because you are choosing the problem instead of the answer to the problem. That's our problem. We need to focus on the joy. Paul had to choose to rejoice. Joy is a part of the comforting and restoring process. If you don't put joy to work, then you hinder or prevent the restoration and the comforting process. It's a process. Everything is a process. There's no such thing as suddenly. Everything has a process, even if you didn't see it happening. It's still a process. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit and is already present in every believer. If you're born again, joy's there. You may not realize it. You may not know it. You may not even understand what joy is. It's not a happy feeling. It's a power. It's a spiritual weapon. It's part of the presence of God. It's part of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Amplified Bible calls it the fruit of His presence. I love that. The fruit of His presence, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those are fruits. You can't pray for them. You can't ask for them. He can't give them to you because they're already there. They are already present in the believer. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit's there. He came in. He came in not just to live in this fleshly body. He came in to merge with your spirit. His spirit and your spirit are one. But you have to exercise those fruits. You are responsible for developing them. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit, which is already present in every believer. We must draw on and exercise the fruit of joy. Count it all joy, which is what James said. James chapter 1, verse 2, New King James Version. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. How much you want that? How many of you want that? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We want that, don't we? But what's the condition? Patience. I prayed for patience. Patience is also a fruit of the Spirit. You cannot pray for it and get it. There's no way to do that. You have to exercise patience. You call it up in your life when those problems and issues come. Do it especially with the little ones. We talk about this all the time in the Bible study with the checkout lady. That seems to be one we always fall on. We always get mad at the checkout lady or the person in front of us or something. That checkout issue is such a big issue with everybody. It's a little thing. But if you can't practice patience in those places, you can't practice patience anywhere else. You will fail. That little act there will hinder or prevent you from walking in patience. That's the times when you exercise that fruit, when you let the other person go in front of you, when you do the nice things in those little places of irritation, especially in the family. You have to draw on joy, and you have to draw on patience. If you don't put patience with your joy, you can't have the joy. You can't have the joy. It's impossible to have joy without patience. And then what else don't work? Your faith doesn't work. And we all know what prevents faith from working. Love. They're all connected. If you can't walk in love, you can't walk in joy. If you can't walk in love, you can't walk in the fruit of the Spirit. If you can't walk in the fruit of the Spirit, then everything else won't work. It's all connected. And we don't realize that. We like to choose this one and leave that one out. They work together. They're linked together. They draw on one another. In order to walk in love, you have to do that in order for your faith to work. If your faith don't work, you can't apply it to the Word. If you can't apply faith to the Word, it don't work. The seed don't come up. It's just that simple. God made this thing so simple. We have to concentrate on our love walk, and then that brings joy and peace and the other things in place so that we can walk in patience. We can be comforted. If we're not willing to walk in love, He can't bring comfort to us, even though He wants to. So you got to look at your life and find out, where am I not walking this love walk? Do I think the best of every person? No, I don't. Well, then that's where you work. You have to find out where you're weak in your love walk. And it's just amazing how things just fall like dominoes into place. Because you're doing your part. Your spirit and his spirit are communing and bringing knowledge and wisdom to you. So what is that? It brings comfort. It brings rest to your spirit right in the middle of these problems and storms. But you're lacking nothing. Why? Because you walk in the love walk, patience working. But God, how many of you have had that? I said it a while ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. It says, but God. I just look for those words, and you know I do. I'm always commenting on but God. But God, how many of you have had some but gods in your life? And we all should do this. I've had some but gods. You might not have you may not recognize them, but they're there. You've had some but gods. These are memorials, and they should be treated as memorials. Never forget the but gods. Keep them fresh in your spirit. These are memorials in your past that can be used in the restoration and comforting process. When you're right in the middle of a deep problem or issue, you've got to the place where, without realizing it, maybe you quit focusing on the Word and you quit focusing on your relationship with God, and you're concentrating on this issue, this hurt, this problem, all of this stuff that's going on, you're concentrating on that. Well, guess what? Your memorials are not working. But if you can get a hold of yourself along there somewhere and get yourself back into the Word the way God wants you to be and start remembering some of those memorials, some of those times when, had it not been for God, you'd have went under. All of us have had that. All of us have. And you may have some right now, and you may be going through one now. You may be going through some in the future. But keep a hold of the memorials. The memorials, places that God has done something for you, lifted you up, put you on higher ground, or maybe it's someone that you know that has happened to. That can be a great comfort to you. It can be a time when God can bring you higher than you've ever been before. Like at stair steps. You know, you're going to have to walk the tread before you get to the riser. When you get to the riser, don't think it's all difficulty. You're growing. You're learning and you're walking and what you learned during that tread time. And you get up here to the riser again, to the tread. Now you're higher, but you're walking again with things. You got to look at your life that way. Well, no matter what this problem is, it's going to keep growing. It's going to keep growing if I don't focus on the answer instead of the problem. So I need to be comforted. Never forget your memorials, even if you got to write them down. Sometimes that helps when you're in the middle of a problem. Keep notes and write down your memorials. Do you know that Jesus is calling all who labor and are heavy laden? He is calling. He's calling. I love that old song, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. I'm not going to sing it because I'll run you all out of here. But anyways, softly and tenderly. He's not demanding that you come. He's asking that you come. In Matthew chapter 11, Amplified Classic, verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I love that. You come, I will cause. You come, I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Can't you just hear Jesus saying that? Jesus calling to the hurting and the lonely and the rejected and those who are bruised. Take my yoke upon you, or my way of life. Go where I go. Let me lead and guide you. And learn of me. Notice you just don't take up on the chore. You have to learn. And learn of me. For I am gentle and meek and humble and lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, ease, and refreshment, recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome and useful and good and not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing. but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. Hallelujah. He brings comfort through that yoke. If you're not connected to Jesus, you're not going to be comforted. And in Luke 4:18, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry, part of it, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And why? To bring comfort. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's so awesome. But do you know that's the mission of the church? If the church is not doing this, we're not the church. This is the call of every church. It's the call of every believer. That's our responsibility, to do exactly. And Jesus even said when he prayed his high priestly prayer in John 17, as thou, Father, hast sent me, even so I send them. So, and he said, this is why I've been sent. So what's our mission? That's it. Do you know that God hears the cry of the heart? He hears that cry. He understands the issues and problems that we face in this life. Jesus experienced in his life everything that we experience, even death itself. Because of that, he can bring comfort and deliverance to all who call upon him. John 1:14, New King James Version. And the Word became flesh. Think of that. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of it, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hebrews 2:14, Amplified Classic. Since therefore these, his children, share in flesh and blood, in the physical nature of human beings, he himself, in similar manner, partook of the same nature, that by going through death, he might bring to naught and make of no effort or no effect him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And also that he might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives. 1 John 3:8 and B, B part. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I got to do this all together. I don't have enough time to talk about it. Hebrews 2:17, Amplified Classic. So it is evident that it was essential that he be made like his brethren in every respect, in order that he might become a merciful, sympathetic, and faithful high priest in things related to God, to make atonement and propitiation for the people's sins. For because he himself in his humanity has suffered in being tempted, tested, and tried, he is able immediately to run to the cry, assist, relieve those who are being tempted and tested and tried, and who therefore are being exposed to suffering. He's able to run immediately to our cry when we cry. But what's the condition that we cry? Not tears, although they may be there, but it's a heart cry of request to the Father, seeking him. Psalm 23. Even pre-cross, David knew the comfort ministry of the Holy Spirit. He knew the comfort ministry of God in his life. He focused on that, and we can see it laid out here. This is a picture or an image of the kind of comfort that God so desires to bring to each of us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is Michael's shepherd, I shall not want. He makes Michael to lie down in green pastures. He leads Michael beside the still. Now, the word Michael's not in there, okay? But it is there. I'm making it personal, and you should too. He restores Michael's soul. He leads Michael in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you see David out there under that tree? His family didn't even recognize him, didn't even acknowledge him as a son. It's obvious when Samuel came to anoint the king. He recognized everybody else. Everybody else was there, but David was out with the sheep. And he says, is there any more? Well, yeah, I got one more. That's kind of the way he must have said it. I got one more, but he's out with the sheep. You know, so okay, we don't go no further till he comes. I can see David out there in the middle of all his issues and problems. Maybe he just got done killing a bear or a lion. The Lord is my shepherd. He meant it with all of his heart. We should too. He is your shepherd right in the middle of your storm of life, if you will let him be. John 14:26, Amplified Classic. The only place that you can get a definition that I found for the word comforter in this verse is in the Amplified. It goes back, takes the Greek and Hebrew, and amplifies those words. So listen to, and these are the ministries of the Holy Spirit to the believer. They're not gifts, they're ministries to the believer. Okay. And again, if you are born again, he's in your spirit. He's alive with you. John 14:26, Amplified Classic. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and to act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. He will cause you to recall and remind you of and bring to your remembrance everything I've told you. Now that's an absolute with God. But notice those ministries. Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby. That's how the Comforter works. That's how, not only does he do that, but he's a revelator. He brings forth revelation knowledge. He teaches us. He's the power and the presence of God himself living and abiding in us. But we need to draw on these ministries. If we don't know that's what he does, then what do we see the Comforter as? Again, the watered down language. He comes along and he's just nice to me and he cries with me and he pity pats me a little bit. That's the image that the world has of a Comforter. But that's not what God's saying here. He's saying, whatever your need is, I'm the need meter. He's saying, I love you so much and want to meet your needs. I want to meet your needs so much. I want to bring comfort to you so much. I'm putting myself inside you. Isn't that awesome? But how many of us know that? We may know the Holy Spirit lives in us, but we've concentrated on the gifts, which that's great. But we need to also concentrate on the fruit and the ministries. It's all one, and he's the same Spirit. And if I know this, then what can I do for someone else? I can bring those ministries to someone else. You know, I use this when somebody's lost a loved one to encourage them and let them know that they're not alone, that there is a Comforter, and not just a pity patter. Someone that will get into depths of where their hurt is and will work down there with them if they will let him. But when God says something, it's an absolute truth. He placed his own Spirit within us when we were born again so that he himself might be with us in person wherever we go. It's an absolute truth. An absolute truth is something you can't change. It's absolute. Hebrews 13:5b, and again the Amplified, because I love the way it says it. For he, God himself, has said. Who said this? God himself said this. I didn't. I didn't write it. God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. You can't get any more absolute than that. He is with us. He will not forsake you. He will not. So we take what? Comfort. If I know that, no matter what my problem in life is, I know he's going to work in this with me. He's not against me. He's with me. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm, and I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? That needs to be our attitude in life. What can this problem do to me if God is for me? And he is. That is an absolute truth. And then Greg read it earlier, but I'm going to read it again. He's got it in my notes. Again, I'm going to use the Amplified Classic because of the way it says it. Psalm 91, verse 14, Amplified Classic. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high. He knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him, no, never. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I make that personal after I say it that way. I say that every day because I want it in my mouth. I say that, and then I make that personal. Father, you have set your love upon me. And I make it a prayer because I want that. I acknowledge the fact that he loves me and what he said, his word is absolute truth. One more and then I can close because I got to cap it off. Hebrews 4:14. Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. You know, don't get ahead of God. Let him come in the way he wants to come. But you keep your faith in him and your trust in him. God is trying to bring this kind of comfort to us. But we have to position ourselves for it. There is no other way. We're involved. It's so sad when we reject the things that God has given us. Sometimes he calls us and we don't come. But he says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is there someone here? I got three. God showed me this about bedtime last night. I didn't know that whether or not I was going to do it, but I wanted him to pick the place. So I'm going to close with this. The one thing you find throughout all Scripture is you got to come to him. You got to come to him. There is no other way. So if there's anybody that wants to lay their pride aside and come up here and be on Facebook Live, there's three of these for someone. It's a gift. Someone? Anybody? I know. There's one. There's two. But you see, that's what holds us back sometimes. We feel that we can do it ourselves. We feel that, yes, I know God is able, but God, I'm okay. I can take care of this. But we're not. He said three, so I will give you three. Praise the Lord. Now, you can open that if you want to, but it's a gift from me. That's what the Lord showed me to do. Anyways, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share the word together as family. We're so thankful for your presence here today. We're so thankful, Father, that you love us so much, that you have prepared a way for us even before we were born. Lord, I thank you for this word we've received today, and I thank you for the ears that you've given us to hear. And I thank you, Father, that as we go through our day and through our weeks ahead, that by your Spirit, you'll bring us back into remembrance of these things, and that you'll take this word and grow it up in us as a great, great vine that with much fruit on it, so that we can give it to those around us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.